Let's now talk a little bit about how linguists describe how the system of language works. Jeffrey Leach, in his book Principles of Pragmatics, makes a distinction between what he calls rules and principles. To give you a quick and easy example of what this means, consider the sentence leave. Now, English has a rule for how an imperative sentence such as leave is formulated. For instance, there's an implied you, which you don't typically hear, but which is actually possible, as in you leave. The verb leave itself has a particular form in an imperative sentence. Consists of what's called the base form of the verb. This is the form of the verb without any inflections and which can be used with the infinitive marker to, as in to leave. So at one level we can talk about the imperative leave simply in terms of its structure, and linguists describe structures such as leave through the formulation of what they call linguistic rules. Now, it's important to distinguish linguistic rules from what are called prescriptive rules, such as don't end a sentence with a preposition or don't split infinitives. Linguistic rules, as I'll discuss in a couple of minutes, are really rules which describe what speakers know about a language. In other words, their knowledge of how particular structures are formulated. Now, there are also what are called principles, and these deal not with the structure of particular forms, but how they're used. To continue on with our example, leave, if you're hosting a party and it's getting late and you'd like your guests to leave, you would probably not blurt out leave. This is because in this particular linguistic and social context, leave is just too direct and it would be perceived as impolite. So there are various strategies you might employ to achieve the same goal, in other words, to get your guests to leave, but in a much more polite manner. You might say, oh, it's getting late, I have to work tomorrow morning, why don't we call it a night? So it's not enough to describe language strictly in terms of how we form constructions, but it's also important to describe language in terms of how these structures are used, and that's done through what Leach calls principles. And principles are not hard and fast. In other words, how we use language is very context dependent, and we have to make judgments based on what we think in the particular context we find ourselves in would be the most appropriate structure to use. Now, there are a number of other differences between the study of rules and principles. Rules are studied within what's called grammar. Now, grammar has many definitions. For instance, you might hear some people say, I have bad grammar, meaning that they don't think that they speak well. Other people associate grammar with the study of syntax, in other words, how words, phrases, and clauses are structured. But within linguistics, grammar is considered the study of our unconscious knowledge of how we formulate rules. In other words, when you utter an imperative sentence, you draw upon your knowledge of how imperative sentences are formed. In the case of English, you'll have one rule. In the case of other languages, you may have different rules. But the important point is that you have an unconscious knowledge of how to formulate an imperative sentence. And this unconscious knowledge extends to other areas. For instance, sounds, how words are put together, and so forth. And it's also important to realize that this knowledge is unconscious in the sense that you don't sit down and try to think up of a rule for how to formulate an imperative. Because if you had to do that, not get much said, because you'd be too busy thinking of how particular constructions are structured, and speaking would be highly inefficient. Now, pragmatics is the study of how language is used, and within pragmatics, linguists make two distinctions between what's called the social context and the linguistic context. Now, when I talked previously about using leave to get your guests to leave, that's using language in a particular social context, and the social context will determine, for instance, which forms are polite, which are impolite, and so forth. But there's also what's called the linguistic context. In other words, when you think of a conversation, for instance, it consists of language beyond the level of the sentence. And how sentences are put together is very much determined by how adjacent sentences are constructed, as I'll discuss more in chapter 4. You would, 4 of the book, I'll demonstrate that, you know, how words are ordered in a particular sentence, or how conversations are begun and ended and so forth, is all very dependent on the linguistic context. In other words, what's occurring before and after in the discourse that makes us decide how we're going to structure particular sentences, clauses, and so forth. Now, rules and the study of grammar all involve what Chomsky characterized as our linguistic competence. And as I said when I talked about grammar, our competence is basically the unconscious knowledge of rules of grammar that every speaker has. Performance would be discussed in terms of principles and pragmatics, because performance is simply how we use that particular knowledge of language that we have. Now, for Chomsky, performance consisted of hesitations, stammers, reformulations, and so forth. But many linguists take a broader view of performance, viewing it simply as how we put our knowledge of language to use. Now, competence by its very nature is psychological, and by that I mean it's simply a product of the brain, in the sense that we have all this unconscious knowledge of language, and Chomsky talks about, for instance, the language acquisition device. This is a kind of black box in our heads that is activated when we are young infants by hearing people speak around us. But this is very much a part of our psychology. Performance, pragmatics, principles is all more of a social phenomenon, in the sense that the particular social context we find us in determine how we speak. Rules are also acontextual. In other words, we can formulate an imperative sentence, a yes-no question, and so forth, without any knowledge of context. That's why we say that when we formulate rules, it's sort of part of our psychological competence. Whereas principles are contextual. when we use things is dependent upon, as I said, the social context as well as the linguistic context. Now, rules also deal with grammaticality. And by grammaticality, I mean our knowledge of what is a grammatical versus an ungrammatical sentence. So if I utter, "I like you," that would be a grammatical sentence because it conforms to a rule of how English speakers order constituents in a clause. But if I say, "like you, I," that would be ungrammatical because it does not conform to how structures, subjects, verbs, and objects are ordered in the English clause. Now, acceptability is more of a personal matter in many cases. In other words, different speakers will have different judgments about what they consider an acceptable versus an unacceptable utterance. For instance, if you take a sentence like, "I ain't got no money," that sentence is grammatical in the sense that it conforms to rules, in the sense that ain't, despite what many people say, is a word in English. It's also in the dictionary. And what's called double or multiple negation is also rule governed in the sense that if you look at the alternate, "I don't have any money," what you find with double or multiple negation is that the negation is simply copied to words like "any," which are sometimes called indeterminates. So judgments about "I ain't got no money" have nothing to do with grammaticality, but rather with acceptability. In other words, some people find multiple negation, "ain't," as highly unacceptable. But that's just a personal judgment. It has nothing to do with the grammaticality of this particular sentence. So this is an important distinction to make, because many people will say "I ain't got no money" is ungrammatical, but it really isn't. It's unacceptable.